Okay, so I'm going to try to re-record this Dvar Torah briefly for those of you who missed it, but for some reason the original recording didn't work. So the Al HaTorah website has recently finished putting together the manuscripts of the commentary of Rabbi Yosef Kara. So Rabbi Yosef Kara is a fascinating figure. He is a Talmud of Rashi in Parshanut on the Torah. And many times when you have a tough yud in Rashi and a parenthetical comment, people think maybe it's Targum Yerushalmi or something like that, but it's not. It's Talmud Yonatan, Talmud Yosef, rather. It is Yosef Kara. Now he's the beginning of the Pashtanim, or the continuation, really, of the Pashtanim, and then Rabbi Dr. Ephraim Kennerfogel has pointed this out in his book about the Balei HaTosfot, that if you want to understand the development of the Pshat movement in Ashkenaz, so you have to look at the arc from Rashi, who already, as much as he quotes Midrashim, does begin to engage Pshat and try to figure out what the words mean and even how the Midrashim fit into the words. By the time you get to Rashbam, he's a radical Pashtan and is willing to read the simple Pshat, as he will call it, of the Torah against Chazal, not only in exegetical points, but even halachic exegesis, like claiming that tefillin in pshat is metaphorical, and day comes before night in pshat, rather than night before day, as it is in halacha. So Rabbi Yosef Kara is part of that arc of pshat commentary that's found in Ashkenaz. So, as I mentioned, alhatorah.org has recently put together the manuscripts, and they highlighted two comments this week from Rabbi Yosef Kara that are worth noting. So the first one is at the beginning of the parasha, when Yaakov goes to sleep on the mountain, and he has the dream of the malachim going up and down, and he says something surprising, and he says, he wakes up, and he says, that this place is the Shar HaShamayim. Ein zeh ki im, Beit Elokim is a Shar HaShamayim. Now that's a weird formulation, because what does that mean? Ein zeh ki im, Beit Elokim. Yeah, you could just say something like, indeed, this is the house of God, or something along those lines. But to read the pasuk literally, it doesn't quite sound that way. He wakes up, vayira, he was afraid, vayomar, and he said, mano raha makom hazeh, how awesome is this place, ein zeh ki im, it is not X, but rather Beit Elokim, v'zeh ha'shar shamayim. And it's not really clear, if you read that literally, it is not X, but rather it is Beit Elokim, what he is referring to. So Rabbi Yosef Kara has a very creative understanding of this. And he suggests that, and I'm not 100% sure what he means, but you know, I'll suggest what I think he means, is that the Ein Zeh Ki Im is going back on the word makom. Meaning, I thought this was a place, but it's so awesome because it's not really a place at all. And he says, Ein ze makom, ki im Beit Elokim, it's not a place, it's the house of God. V'zeh shar shamayim, v'zeh shara'iti sulam b'chalomim utzav arzav roshah magia shamayim, v'ineh malachem elokim olim v'yardim bo. And that which I saw the angels going up and down, hu sholim mi'beit elokim l'shamayim l'mal v'yardim l'beit elokim. They go up to the house of God in heaven and the one down here on earth. So I think, maybe in a Maimonidean sense, in a philosophical sense, though in Chazal you have this as well, this is some sort of statement of God is outside of space and time. And therefore, when I see God, I realize that this place is not really a place at all, because the place of God is not a place, is not a place in the way we would call it a place. And therefore, it's not just that this is indeed a special place, but Ein Zeh, it is not a place at all. Ki im Beit Elokim, it's the house of God, which is, by definition, not really a place. So that's one fascinating comment by Rabbi Yosef Kara. The second is on the latter half of the parsha, when Yaakov is fleeing from Lavan. Lavan catches up to him, and he goes through his stuff. Finally, Yaakov lashes out, and he says, "I was a great guardian of your property for so many years." And then he says, "And if anything was sick, anything was ill, so then you would take it up with me, and I'd pay you." So what does that add? Right? Meaning he's already yelled at him and said, "Why are you accusing me of stealing?" And why does he keep going on and say, "Not only was I a good shomer, but I never brought a treifa to you. I would always just bring a healthy animal. I take the loss myself." What is he adding to the conversation? So Rabbi Yosef Kara suggests is that it's not just that he's responding to the fact that Lavan went through his property. That's bad enough. But what he's saying is that I went out of my way so much that not only do I not owe you anything, but you didn't even have a pitchon peh to think that I owed you something. Meaning, he's saying, you weren't just wrong for coming and looking through my property, you were wrong for even coming. Because why might you have come? Because maybe you thought you had a claim, that you could open a claim against me, right? Maybe you could have looked at my animals and said, I stole them, or, you know, I have a deal with you. But I went out of my way so much to make it that I was so beyond reproach that even chasing me to enter into conversation, accusations, it's crazy. So it's not just the problem that you went through my property, but the problem is that I was so good, so beyond reproach, that you, by even chasing me to initiate this, are completely unjustified. In both cases, I think you see Rabbi Yosef Kara very carefully reading the parasha and asking what every phrase means literally, what it adds to the conversation, and is indeed unique, I think, in the insights that he offers on these. Okay, so I know I gave it once earlier this morning, but for those of you who wanted it, I re-recorded it because for some reason the first recording didn't go through, so I hope this abbreviated version was clear.